series. This is Novi 31, entitled Shaul and David, the Great Chase and the Great Confrontation. So tonight we'll discuss a few events, maybe four or five different events, all leading to that very dramatic encounter between Shaul and David. We start actually chronologically before last week's discussion. The incident at Nov continues right afterwards. Just to place the context, Shaul HaMelech is in pursuit of David, whom he deems to be a Moreh B'Malchus, rebellious. David actually leaves Nov with bread and with the sword of Goliath. This is before the massacre, which we discussed last week. And there we begin. David goes from Nov, and he continues with Perek Chaf Aleph and Shmuel Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, number one in our handout this week. Vayokom David, Vayivrach Bayomahum Mibnei Shaul. David then arises, and he flees on that day from Shaul. Note the phrase, which will recur on a number of occasions, Vayokom David. And it's not just talking about physically David rising, but it's talking, the Mishpat Zov says, about Tekumas David. Tekuma really means, it's the name of a political party in Israel today, a right-wing party. But Tekuma means rising in a monarchical sense, in a sense of royalty, that he's really coming of age, really ready to seize power. Vayaka means he's standing up to assert his rights. In any event, he flees Vayavoel Achish Melech Gas. He comes to Achish, the king of Gat. Gat is pushed him. Now Malchus David is rising, but to the naked eye, it seems to be tottering, because David now has no friends, he has no supporters, no one really knows about his plight. The Kohanim and Nov are somewhat aware that something is up. His family is can't help him, he has no army, and of course he is afraid. Now, he's so afraid of staying in Nov that he heads, of all places, to Gat, which was the capital of the Plishtim. The Plishtim, of course, were those whom he had, on whom he made his reputation by killing Goliath. So it's very, very strange, but it shows his desperation. He really has no place to go amongst the Jews, because the king is dominant and well-respected. And again, most people do not know of David and Shaul's falling out. So he flees actually Israel and heads to Gat. If you look on your map, you can make out Gat. Gat is on the left side where it says Eretz Plishtim, and it's circled. All the way on the left, the gray is the Mediterranean. So you see Gat is not far. In fact, you see right next to Plishtim, it says Ashdod. Ashdod was an ancient city too. So Gat is not far from what today is called Kiryat Gat, exactly. So Gat was the capital of the Plishtim. Why would David, of all places, go to the Plishtim, where he was public enemy number one? So it shows you how desperate he was, but in fact, how clever he was. It was a good place to hide. The last place Shaul would look for David was with the Plishtim, because there he was a marked man. So his intention apparently was to hide. And by the same token, the Plishtim would also not suspect him of being there. Because why would their major foe, the killer of their top general, go hide in their midst? The Mishpat Zosov quotes the Kilas Yaakov with a different pshat. You remember from Sefer Bereishis in the Sedra Vayera, right before the Akedah, that Avram Avinu enters into a covenant with Avimelech. Etc. They vow not to harm each other's offspring. So the Kilas Yaakov writes that David was hopeful that after all this, Avimelech, Achish, he was Avimelech. Avimelech is the professional name of the kings of the Plishtim, like Paro was of Egypt. He hoped that Achish would honor the Shvuah, not to harm Avram's descendants, but again, to show you how pathetic his situation is, he's hoping that's really his last straw, that the Plishtim would protect him based on a covenant with Avram made over 1,000 years earlier, because he knows that he has no hope with Shaul HaMelech amongst the Jews. So that's his plan. He goes to Achish Melech Gad. Vayomru Avdei Achish Elov. The servants of Achish say to Achish, Halozed David Melech Haaretz. Isn't this David, the king of the world? And Chazal say here, king of the world, meaning that they recognize only someone of greatness could kill Goliath. So therefore, if David is here, it means that he is going to attempt to take over the Plishtim as well. Isn't this the one that they sing about? He cast Shaul Balafa with David the river Zav. Vayasem David is Hadvarim O'Ela Bilvavo. So David took this to heart, and he realized that his plan failed. That in fact he was recognized, and he could not hope to gain refuge amongst the Plishtim. Then he was very afraid of what might happen to him. So what did he do? He escapes. He changed his demeanor, his behavior in their eyes. He pretended to be a madman. He began to scribble on the doorways of the gates. Vayored Riroel's Kano, he let saliva drip from his beard, meaning he looked like a Meshugana. Vayomer Achishel Avadov. This way, feigning insanity, they would say about him, either he's no threat, or this can't be David. Goliath could not have been slain by a lunatic. Vayomer Achishel Avadov, Hine Siru Ish Mishtageya. Hey, look at this man. He's mad. He's crazy. Loma Savio Soiloi. Why would you bring to me a crazy person? Chasar Meshugo Imoni. Do I lack here for crazy people? Which is a common phrase in Hebrew based on this Pasuk in Tanakh. I think every person who's an employer at times feels that way. Chasar Meshugo Imoni, do I lack for crazy people? Kiavesim Ezilishtagei Oloi, that you brought me another person to act madly in front of me. Hazeyovo Besi, this I need in my house. Now, the Radak says, Vayeshano Estamo, it's number two. He changed Shinos Dvoro Vidaito Beineyem, he took on a completely different demeanor and personality and presentation. Kadesh is nakerlem, so he should be alien, strange to them. Vloyach Shavuolov Shudavis, they wouldn't know he's David. Or if they knew he was David, he'd demonstrate himself to be a Shota, so he shouldn't be any threat to them. Now the Radak adds an interesting point based on the Medrash in number three. Chasar Meshugo Imani, it's a rhetorical question. Uvidrash, ki ishto shalochish, uvito hayu meshugos. Achish's wife and daughter were insane. And inside the palace, they carried on like crazy people. And David is screaming like a madman outside. So that's what Achish said. You know, I don't lack for crazy people. It's my own family's crazy. So now he brought me another Meshugana. It's a very interesting... A very interesting display. But you see, by the way, again, the low depths to which David has fallen. That here, from the pinnacle, the son-in-law of the king, the great hero of Israel, he cast Shaul Balafa v'David b'riv osav, now he's reduced to pretending to be a lunatic in order to escape with his life, in order to hide his identity. Interestingly enough, we make reference to this every Shabbos. Anybody know where? It's in Pesukei Dezimra, Kapitel Lamed Dalet, LeDavid, B'shanosoes Tamo Lefnei Avimelech, Vayegar Shehu Vayelach, Avarchas Hashem B'choleis, Tamid Tiloso B'fi, David says. when he was able to save himself by pretending to be a lunatic. So this is when he composed that Kapitel Tehillim, Avarchos Hashem Micholeis, I'll praise God at all times. Tamid Tilaso Befi, his praise is always in my mouth. And the Kapitel really relates to his sense of despair at that situation. But look at number four, there's an interesting take that Chazal had on it from the Medrash Tehillim on that Kapitel, Adavid Bishanoso Estamo. By the way, why do we say that on Shabbos? Because if you recall, he came to Nov on Shabbos, and he fled on Shabbos as well. So he came, this whole incident with Achish happened on Shabbos too. So that's why we incorporate that on Shabbos. In any event, the Medrash says in Tehillim that Shlomo writes in Koheles that God made everything beautiful in its time. Whatever God made in his world, so David said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is nice, right? Chutz min ashtus hazeh, the bold print. Amar David, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, Mahano yesh olam min ashtus hazeh. What benefit is there to the world of insanity? It makes no sense. And Mefarshim explain that, of course, Malchus based David is really premised on the infusion of Chochmah into the world. What's Yemos HaMashiach? Kimola Ha'aretz Deo Es Hashem Kamay Malayam Echasim, that the world will be filled with knowledge of God. So if the entire royalty of the house of David and his mission in government is to produce a nation of Chachamim, then the exact opposite of the Chacham, which is the Shota, should play no role. So why does God let that into existence? And David continues, people walk in the streets, they tear their garments, and tinokos run after him and make fun of him. This is pleasant before you. You're attacking the notion of insanity. You'll see, you'll eventually need it as well. And when David came, when David was going to Achish, so God said to him, talk of insanity. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David, Eitzel Achish Ata Olech, you're going to Achish Melech God. Esmol Haraktis Goliath, yesterday you killed their top soldier. V'hayom Ata Olech Eitzel Achish V'charbo B'yadecha, and now you're going to Achish, not only going to Achish and Plishtim, but you're carrying the sword of Goliath. V'ochiv Shel Goliath Shomer Rosh Hashem Melech Haya. And Goliath's brother was the head of security of the king. And he's still enraged by the murder of his brother. Vatol lechetzlo, you're going there. What's the pshat? Shtus, God says to David Shota. It's a shtus that you're going to the plishtim to seek their assistance, to find safety there. That's the most insane thing a person could do. Miyad bososho nisyar David. He became very afraid. He started mispalel. And he said to God, God said, what do you want? Amar lefanav, ten li me'aso ashtus shebarasa. Give me a little shtus as well. See from here that it's difficult for a sane person to act crazy. It doesn't seem natural. Crazy people do it very naturally. But for a person who's not crazy, it's not so easy to do. So he asked God to let him borrow a little shtus for a short amount of time. Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Marti L'cha, didn't I say the Pasuk in Mishlei, Boz L'davar Yechavelo, that a person who scorns something, so it'll harm him eventually. Now you want shtus, which you scorned? So that's L'davar B'shanoso Estamo. Boz L'sha, Somach David Simcha, Sheyatzelo Ashtus Mitocha Simcha. At that moment, David rejoiced. He was very happy that shtus came out of here, and he made the shir, not only the shirah, of L'David B'Shanoso, but he put in the form of the alphabet, Avorchas Hashem B'Chaleis, etc., which is the highest praise, because it represents lyrical brilliance, that everything is in alphabetical order. Omar L'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kama Tova Hish Hashtus, how wonderful is Shtus when it's necessary. So of course, the question is, why is all this, why did he do this? Why he went there, we understand. But why act like a shota? Why was that his way out? It seems very... That seems very unbecoming. I mean, if you're here, so leave. Don't resort to shtus. So if you look at number 7, the Ari darshans that pasuk l'David b'shanoso is tam l'fnei avimelech. David changed his tam l'fnei avinu shebashamayim. That's avimelech, the father of kings, the king of kings, v'kadosh baruch hu. What does that mean? So he writes that gam noda kishat tzaddik mistabek b'boro v'libu mislahei b'avoso v'iraso, that when the righteous person cleaves to his creator and his heart is enthused in God's love and reverence, oz hu l'marei enei ha-rashoim kilu hu mishugo v'chasadeo, then such a person looks to rashoim as if he's crazy, as if he's out of his mind. Something, by the way, that on some level we all recognize at one time or another, that the world very often looks at us as crazy. The Rasha always perceives the righteous as crazy. And we hear that, you know, that we don't know how to live and we deprive ourselves and it's crazy not to indulge every taiva that we want. It's crazy to restrict ourselves. Shabbos, you can't watch college football, and kashrus, you can't eat everything, etc. So to the world at large, the tzaddik always appears as a crazy person. This is part of David's presentation here, the realization that in whatever situation the tzaddik finds himself, to most of the world he looks bizarre, he looks outlandish. More than that, he sees something else here, and he continues that kishebo lebeis achish, the fourth line, v'ra'a kvod malchuso v'avadov hamdim lefanov, and he saw the trappings of royalty that Achish had. See, he was afraid right away. And the fear, the Ari said, when a person feels any fear from human beings, he should direct that fear, that awe, to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what David did. V'islahev tekev histabek b'yiras elokim, right away began to divest himself of any connection to the physical. Meaning in his own way, he mocked the royalty of Achish as insignificant, as meaningless. Achish has no power, zero, compared to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's b'shanosu es tamo lifnei avimelech, the Ari said, lifnei avinu shvashamayim. I mean, David changed his entire demeanor and got a lesson in understanding how a king should behave, that real malchus, it's l'cha Hashem amlucha. And therefore, David went overcome by enthusiasm in this particular event, enthusiasm for his dveglus b'Hashem, his cleaving to God, so he just lost himself. And he became really an aphysical person, dancing around, thrashing about, saliva dripping, acting in a way as if Olam HaZeh meant nothing to him, which is exactly how a crazy person behaves, which is why he's different than us. That's David b'shanoso estamo lifnei Avimelech. Now from there, hard to believe, but it gets worse. Look at number 5. So right after this, I'm sorry. Right now he goes from here to Adulam. If you Perek Chaf Beis Pasagal, if you look at your map, if you see where Gat is on the left side, and just move eastward to the right about an inch and a half, you should see a little circle there. That is Adulam. All right, Adulam. It's if you look down, Hebron is to the southeast slightly. So Adulam is not far really from where Gush Etzion, Beit Shemesh is a little south of there today. Vayelech David Misham, so he leaves Gat and heads eastward. Vayimalet el Me'aras Adulam, he hides in the cave of Adulam. Vayishmu echov chobeis aviv vayerdu elav shama. Finally his brothers and his father's house hear of his plight, and they went down to him there, and not only them. For the first time, David attracts an entourage. What an entourage. V'chol ish asher lo nosheh, v'chol ish mar nefesh. David attracts every person in distress, every person with a creditor, meaning he attracts every ruffian, every deadbeat, every lowlife, every person with a grievance against the government, every person just generally is bitter with life. Vayhi alehem l'sar, and he became their leader, their officer. Right, you have to start somewhere. Vayu imo k'arba meos ish, and he had now 400 men. It's hard to imagine that there are only 400 such deadbeat low lives, but apparently those are the ones he attracted. Vayelef David misham mitzpeh moav. There he heads southeast. If you look at the very bottom on the right side where it's black, it says Av there. That's actually Moav. So now he heads to Moav, where in fact, think about it, we all know David had family, because his great-grandmother, Rus, was a princess of Moab. So he had no help with the Plishtim. Now he takes his family with him and these 400 men to Moab. Vayelech misham mitzpeh Moab. Vayomer el melech Moab. Yetzei no avi v'imi etchem al asher eidam ma yasa li Elohim. He says, I want my father and mother, my parents, to stay here with you. Again, Yishai is the grandson of Rus, and therefore the great-grandson of Melech Moab, still the Moabite royal family. Let them stay here with you until I know what God is going to do with me. Vayanchem es p'nei Melech Moab, so he leads them, he escorts them to the king of Moab. Vayeshvu imo kol yemei hayos David b'mtsuda, and they stayed with him, with the king of Moab, all the days that David was in the fortress, which is not long, because God Hanavi, making his first appearance, says to David, lo teshei b'mtsuda, you can't stay here in the fortress, lechu vasa lecha Eretz Yehuda, go back to Eretz Yehuda. Vayelech David vayavo Yarcharas, he went to Yarcharas. Something happens here. It says, "Vayeshu imo kol yemei hayos David b'mtsuda." As long as David was in the fortress, the king of Moab protected his family. What happened afterwards? So Rashi says, "Samach l'moav ukshayotza David misham liyar chares." Number six, when David left the fortress of Moab for Yar Cheres, harag melech Moav esoviv v'yasimo v'yasechov. The king of Moab killed his entire family. Yishai, his father, David's mother, all of David's brothers, because the king of Moab reasoned that eventually they're going to try to take over Moab also. So, not such a close family, apparently. The king of Moab kills David's entire family, chutz me'achad shebohem, except for one brother that was left alive, shechiyah nochash ha'amoni. Nochash Amoni, a story that we'll get back to in Shmuel Bey, saved. And that's the chesed that David then does for Nochash Amoni, because he saved his one brother. Well, I mean, if you think for a moment that it can't get any worse, it gets worse. So if David had family now, now he has no family. He has literally no one to turn to, and worse, imagine the terrible anguish that it causes. He is responsible for the death of his entire family. Righteous also, because we know Chazal say, Yishai, the father of David, was one of those who died be'et yoshel nochash. He never sinned. It's a tzaddik gomor who never sinned. One of four such people. Other three, I think, are in the room tonight. I don't want to mention any names. But one of four people never sinned, Yishai. And David was the one, unfortunately, who unwittingly precipitated his death. From Moav, he gets another call. And now we turn to number 8. Beginning Perek Chaf Gimel. It's after this story, by the way, that I just mentioned, the murder of his family, that the massacre of Nov takes place. And then David sees, and this that really is the rock bottom, as we ended last week, because now Malchus Yisrael is corrupt, there is no Avod anymore, because the Mishkan in Nov is destroyed. There's no Torah because Doeg HaAdomi, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, is also corrupt. And David has no family. Shmuel is still alive. He's in Ramah. He's uninvolved because he's anointed two people. And he knows that he has to wait out whatever's going to happen, that this struggle between Shaul and David is what prepares David for Malchus, for royalty. Now, number 8, again, beginning Perek Chav Gimel, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Aleph, right. David is told that he should go to Keilah. Keilah. Ve'agidu l'David l'mor, hinei flishtim nilchamim ba'keilah, b'keilah, rather, ve'em ha'shosim esagranoz. He's told by messenger, nevuah, that the plishtim are waging war in Keilah, and they are plundering the granaries. Now, Keilah, Keilah is not listed, but Keilah is due south of Adullam, all right? Not far from Hebron. So David goes there. This, by the way, is a whole Indian halacha. Keilah is a border town separating between Israel proper and the land of the Plishtim. He's told to go fight because this way he will gain more supporters amongst the people, protect his town. Gemara is a discussion in Erev and Daf Mehem and Aleph whether or not war is permitted on Shabbos. So the halacha is if non-Jews attack only for the purpose of material gain, they want spoils, but they're not coming to kill anybody, then you're not allowed, al iske tevin bakash, they just come for straw and stubble, so you're not allowed to be Michal Shabbos fighting back. If they come though for nefashos, then of course you can. Except that halacha has a condition if it's a border town. Because if it's a border town which is invaded even for the purpose of plunder, then that itself endangers the rest of the country, and therefore they can fight back. Since the halacha is derived from this incident here, which also happened on Shabbos, and David hastened to defend them. Notice it says, Nilchamim b'Ki'ilah, they're fighting in Ki'ilah. They want the property of Ki'ilah. They're not fighting Nilchamim al Ki'ilah. They're not trying to capture it. All right, David asks the Urim V'Tumim. Yes? Only after it was conquered. Because Yeshua did not conquer it. So David asks the Urim V'Tumim, should he do it? And he's told yes, and he goes with his people. He's told to be successful. He took it with him. Apparently, Chazal say that the Kohen Gadol, Achimelech ben Achitub, gave him not just the sword. Remember the Pasuk said the sword behind the ephod. So apparently they had several copies of the Urim V'Tumim. There were several Choshenim, not just one. And he gave one to David, and David took it. Also, if you recall that, you don't have it for you today. You do. Okay, it's number 8. Right, the Samech, about 6-7 lines up from the bottom. Vayehi bivroach av Evyasar ben Achimelech el David Kehilo, ephod yorad biyado. That Evyasar, the sole survivor of the massacre of Nov, the son of Achimelech, HaKohen, he took it also with him. So one pshat is David took it with, he was given one set of Urim V'Tumim to carry with him. The simple pshat is Evyasar took it, and so he had the ability to access it. Some say the Melech Yisrael can do it as well. And it's used Urim V'Tumim, as we mentioned last week, it's used for political issues, both whether to do something and what will be the outcome. It both tells you, if you understand it, it's a nevuah, partial nevuah. Tells you what to do and whether you'll be successful in doing it. So he goes, you'd think the people of Keilah will be grateful. No. Vayugadli Shaul, it's the end of number 8, a few lines up. Vayugadli Shaul kivod David Keilah. Shaul now as a location on David, but in all points bullet. Now he turned up in Keilah. Vayomer Shaul Nikaro so Elokim biyadi ki nizgar lavo beyird l'asayim uvriach. God has delivered him into my hand because Keilah is a walled city with gates and a bar. So if he's inside and we surround the city, he won't be able to escape. Now, one thing is clear from here. Shaul says, Nikaro Sorlo Kimbi Yodi. It's clear that according to Shaul, a point that we've revisited a number of times, he feels he's doing God's will. Shaul sees David as a Morid B'malchus, and with all the paranoia and all the depression that he suffers from, it's insignificant. Shaul considers David to be a person who's endangering the Malchus Hashem on earth, and therefore he feels he's doing God's will in killing David. Well, failure, because the people of Keilah, David asks the Urim Tumim, will the people of Keilah turn me over to Shaul? And the Urim Tumim says, yes, they will, so you should escape. And then David escapes again. So even in his attempt to ingratiate himself to part of the population, fails. And of course, Shaul HaMelech has all the resources of government and the army in his power. And Shaul is a very popular king, because the people are relatively prosperous now. There's no threat from the Plishtim. Even this threat is suppressed. So Shaul has the support of the people. David seems like an insurgent. So even if he helped them, now it comes out that he's opposing the king. So they want no part of it. So he fails. And then he flees again, and he flees to Midbar Zif. If you look at the map, so that we can see very clearly, Midbar Zif is right on the Dead Sea. It's what I labeled C, north of En Gedi. So basically he goes from Keilah, which is near Hebron, cuts across the mountains into the wilderness of Zif, and there he starts hiding. And we all visited the area. It's filled with hundreds of caves and hiding places and mountains and valleys. So there he is able to find temporary refuge right along the Dead Sea. Number 9, it's Perichav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayakom David v'anashov kishesh me'azish v'yetzu mi'ki'ilah v'yisalchu b'asher yisalachu. They left. David, again, Vayakom David, again he arises with his men, and 200 joined him in Keilah. Get more people. They left Keilah and they just started following David wherever he went. And when Shaul was told David escaped from Keilah, v'yechdal latzei, so he stopped. Now, v'yeshev David b'amidbar b'amitzados, he lived in strongholds, he lived in caves. V'yeshev bahar b'midbar zif. V'yevakshehu Shaul kol hayamim. V'lo nisano alehim v'yado. Shaul kept searching and searching and just could not capture him. God did not give David into Shaul's hands. Is that the famous book, The Miserables? David is Javert, really. He's being pursued, and Shaul cannot yet attain, can never capture him. Vayar David ki yatsa Shaul uvakeshes nafsho, v'David b'midbar zif b'chorsho. David sees that Shaul is seeking him, that he has no respite. So he goes from cave to cave, place to place, literally on the run. And now, if you look at it, he's really boxed in, because Keilah turned on him. Keilah is part of Yehudah, known people. They turned on him. Plishtim forget about. He can't go to Moab. He can't go to Nov. He can't really go anywhere. He's just hiding. It's at this moment where really there's nowhere to go that someone makes a return appearance. Number 10. Vayakom Yehonasan ben Shaul vayelchel David Chorosha. How Yehonasan found him and his father couldn't. So that's part of the greatness of Yehonasan and the great friendship that they had. But he finds David in the forest. Vechazekes yado be'elokim. He encourages him with the word of God. And then he says to David, really, what to David would be the most heartwarming and ennobling words. Vayomer elov, al tira, don't be afraid. My father Shaul will never find you. Yisrael, and you will be the king. And now Yehonasan recognizes in their struggle that this paves the way for Malchus David. So you will be the king. And he just asks, I will be a second to you. Chazal say that that is to uphold the honor of his father's house. That here, Shevet Binyamin, they were the rulers. But really, Lo Yosef Shevet Mi'Yehuda, Yehuda is supposed to rule, Yehuda will rule. But Binyamin can be the adjunct. V'gam Sha'ul Avi Yodea King. My father also knows that you're going to be king. And this for David, this is a bomb. B-A-L-M. This is what soothes him. This is what encourages him in his despair. Vayichrasu Shnehem Bris Lefnei Hashem. They enact another covenant. They reaffirm their covenant. David goes back into the forest. Yonasan goes back to his house. What David realizes here is not only the nevuah is coming true, but now the word is out. When people start realizing that Yehonasan himself has no claims to the throne, indeed is renouncing his claims to the throne, and that David will be the king, and in fact that Shmuel Hanavi has already anointed David the king, then David already now has a different persona, and people will look at him a different way. Doesn't all catch on right away? Not everybody likes the Melech Yisrael. It's also true. Yes? Months. That's all. Very short. Very short period of time. So clearly the impression is growing that David is destined to be the king, especially because he keeps slipping through the clutches of Shaul. And, you know, we're talking about a very small area geographically. It looks vast, you know, I guess we have to hike it, but it's a very small area geographically. And Shaul has a large army, and again, he has the whole army and the whole government behind him. So to smoke out one person shouldn't be that hard, especially a person who's dependent on others for food and bread and provisions. But in fact, as of now, the people of Ki'ilah, and we see the Navi tells us that Vaya'alu Zifim El Shul HaGivosa Leimor Halo David Mistater Mamsados Bachar Shaw. The people of Midbar Zif also go to Shaul and say David is here. A lot of stool pigeons among Klal Yisrael. They're all turning on him. And again, Zif was part of Yudah, and still they turned on him. So now they continue on the move. Number 11, they leave Vayakumu Vayahu Zifa Lefnei Shaul. They leave Zif, V'David V'Anashah B'Midbar Ma'on. They enter the Midbar of Ma'on. So look at our map. Ma'on is letter B, due south of En Gedi. It's also circled. So he's in Midbar Zif, and now he heads down to Midbar Ma'on. The city of Ma'on is to the left. Ma'on is in the news, you know, the last few years. Chavat Ma'on is one of those outposts, Ma'on's farm, that the government is trying to dismantle. They did once already. It's back up again. It's back up again. They killed an American Jew there named David Driven. A few years murdered by Arabs. He was one of the custodians of Chabat Ma'on. So anyway, that's Ma'on. It's also due south of Hebron. And it's a desert. It's actually a very picturesque area. Although David was not sightseeing. Now, in Ma'on, he flees, and he finds himself at a rocky mountain. Not the Rocky Mountain, which is also picturesque, but a very rocky mountain. So let's look at number 11, the end of Perek Chaf Gimel. Vayelech Shaul v'anashov l'vakesh v'yagidu l'David v'yered asela v'yeshev b'midbar Ma'on. So Shaul and his men go and seek David, and David finds out. He goes to the other side of the rock. V'yishma Shaul v'yerdof achrei David midbar Ma'on. Shaul hears and he chases after David midbar Ma'on. V'yelech Shaul mitzad ahar mizeh v'David v'anashov mitzad ahar mizeh. It's the closest the armies ever get. David is on one side of that rocky mountain. Shaul's on the other side of that rocky mountain. He's really surrounded. Vayehi David nechpaz loleches. David hastens away from Shaul. V'Shaul v'anashov otrim el David v'anashov l'tafsam. They're surrounding David to capture him. All right. I keep saying it's the lowest point. This might be the lowest point because now he's about to be captured. If you look at number 17. in the Yalkut Shimoni, it says, David, Vayhi, David, Nechpaz Lalechas, Nechpaz. Kevon Sherah, David, Atzim, Mitzumtzam, Beyat Shov, Anashov. When David saw himself encircled, closed in, squeezed by Shaul and his men, Hischil Omer, he started saying, Al Chinam Mashachos Yishmuel. Shmuel anointed me for nothing. Vamar Mishach Hashem Lemelech. And he said, God has anointed to be the king. And that's the pasuk we say in Hallel. Ani amarti b'chofzi kol ha'adam kozev. I said in my haste, nechpaz, I said in my haste, all men are deceitful, all men are liars. It's attacking Shmuel. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shmuel kozev. You're saying Shmuel's a liar? Ani me'id alav shu nemo, and I'm telling you, Shmuel is trustworthy. Miyad bo malach el Shaul lemor mehera v'alecha. What happens now? The next pasuk. The moment David is surrounded, the moment the end is near. So, I mean, in history, these things happen more regularly than people would think. At the moment of crisis, near destruction, something intervenes. Something happens, and it distracts the enemy. Umaloch bo el Shaul lemor, an angel, literally a messenger, comes to Shaul. Maharov velecho kifashtu plishtim al aretz. Here you're running around the Dead Sea, stopping in at the Hayat, chasing David. Meanwhile, the plishtim are attacking. What happened to the rest of your kingdom? Vayoshav. So look at Rashi number 12. Malach bal Shaul, malach mamish, kedei lahatzilas David. God sends an angel to tell, to provoke the plishtim into attacking, and to tell Shaul his kingdom is now endangered, and to give him a choice. And for Shaul, it's really a fateful choice, if you think about it. What's he going to do? What is he going to do? He's so close to getting David, which is now his seemingly his only desire in life, and yet he has a war wage. He could lose the whole kingdom. All right. How often does it happen that just some unforeseen event intervenes and it turns the tide of battle? I'm a little too young for that.
Bravo went to, because he got a weather report.
That's right, went to Calais.
They went over to his Venus Field.
That's correct.
And he wasn't there for 2 days.
That's right, thought they wouldn't attack. What's that?
Rommel.
He never thought they would attack on June 6, 1944. That's correct. Or, I mean, the story, that's right, the story that, you know, I heard from an eyewitness, I just can't ever forget. The Yom Kippur War, the Syrians had broken through the lines on the Golan Heights, and on the southern Golan, there was nothing between them and Tveria. And they're marching, they're about 3-4 miles from Tveria, from going down the slope, there's nothing between them and the city. And they stopped. And later on, after the war, they said they thought it was some trap. But they could not believe that there were no Israelis there, and they felt that they must be waiting for an ambush to suck them in, outflank them, and destroy their army. So they waited for more reinforcements, waited 24 hours, and by that time the army was able to respond with the reservists. They just stopped. Unbelievable when you think about it. They just stopped. Why did they stop? Umaloch bel shol lemar. A malach comes and says, now is the time. Something else happens. Vayoshav Shaul Mirdov Acharei David Vayelech Likras Plishtim. Shaul stopped his pursuit of David and he went to fight the Plishtim. Al Kain Karula Makom Azeh, therefore they call this place Sela HaMachlikas, the Rock of Divisions. Why the Rock of Divisions? Rashi says in number 12, Pasuk Chav Ches, Shehoya Libo Shel Shaul Chaluk L'Shtei Deyos. Shaul was undecided. He was really conflicted. Im lashuv latzilas artso miyat plishtim, should he save his land from the Philistines? O lirdof l'tfoses David, or should he continue his capture of David? He was conflicted. Look at the Yalkut in number 15 on the left side, Yalkut Shimoni, Remez Kuflam and Gimel. There are three opinions, why it was called Sela Machlokos. One is not Shaul was conflicted. All right, he was conflicted too. His own officers were conflicted, arguing back and forth. Rav Omar Bashim Gamaliel, that's where the Giborim were divided amongst themselves. Some saying, Ad Sheben Yishai Biyadeinu Lo Nifne Mimenu. We're here, let's capture him, then we'll worry about the Plishtim. Some saying, no, Milchemes Yisrael Kodemes. The wars of Israel take precedence. Avo Ben Yishai, Matzui Yitzlein, Abachal Shoshin Akshana, we'll find him another time. We found him now, they knew he was there. Found him now, we'll find him again. This actually speaks to the greatness of Shaul, Chazal say, that really at the moment of crunch time, the moment of decision, he acted with everything, with all his problems. He acted like Melech Yisrael. And he put the interests of the people fighting the Plishtim ahead of his own personal agenda in fighting David HaMelech, fighting David. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, another reason, Sela Machlokos. Because in fact, Nechelak HaSela Mikana Mikan, that how were they separated? Miraculously, the rock divided and separated the two sides. And so they couldn't, like a barrier, they weren't good rock climbers, they couldn't come together. So that's how he was saved. Shaul and his men on one side, David and his men on the other side, Husha David Omer, Anosein Chuala Melochim, Shnei Melochim, Elu David v'Shaul, that's the pasuk. God who gives salvation to the kings, both kings were saved, David and Shaul. The third opinion, Sela Machlokos, refers also to the miracle that took place here, the physical nace, that David and Shaul were separated and could not come to blows, and therefore it says that whenever David and his army would revisit this place in the future, they would say a bracha, Baruch she'asolano nisim b'makom hazeh, blessed is God who performed miracles for us in this place, but only some would say it. Only those soldiers who were with David at the original confrontation would say it. The others would not. So Sela HaMachlokos, the rock of divisions dividing in David's armies. Sof, the war at the Plishtim was very short-lived, but it served its purpose as a diversion, and David escaped again. And he escapes, goes north again from Midbar Maon, where David hides, and where we come now, after the great chase, to the great confrontation. Number 13. Really, one of the poignant stories in all of Tanakh. Very poignant story. I mean, if it was done well in a movie, the audience would be crying at this scene, because it's really very, very powerful. So what happens? Number 13, Pasuk Chafdalid. I'm sorry, Perek Chafdalid, Pasuk Aleph. But Vayal David Misham Vayeshev Mitzados En Gedi. He goes now to the fortresses of En Gedi. Okay. Vayhi Kasher Shov Shov Mechre Plishtim. They said now David is in Midbar En Gedi, and now we start. So Shov finishes war the Plishtim, now resumes the hunt. Vayikach Shov Shloshes Alafim Ish Bachur Mikol Yisrael. He takes 3,000 men from amongst the whole Israel, all the tribes. Shouldn't look like a vendetta of just one tribe. And he goes and looks for David al pnei tzurei hayelim, over the rocks of the wild goats. If you go walk now, where En Gedi is, where the waterfalls are, invariably see the ibex, wild goat, all these things, they're just indigenous to the land. So that's where they were hiding. Vayavo gidros hatzon al aderech. They came to the sheep enclosures along the roads. Vishom me'orod. There was a cave. Vayavo Shaul laseches raglov. Shaul enters the cave to relieve himself in private. Now, it's very interesting. David did not, we know what En Gedi looks like. David did not hide in the mountains. He came down to hide in the road. His assumption was that Shaul would look for him in the mountains because it's less accessible. So he hid in the caves, which are more alongside what today and then in the ancient world was the road along the Dead Sea. So Shaul sent his men, and he remained back with a small force, sent his men up into the mountains, and he went into a cave off the road to relieve himself. The Hashgacha directs Shaul to the cave where David is hidden amongst all the other caves. It's the Malm, by the way, who says that the David hid on a lower level, not the upper level. So what happens? V'David v'anashav v'yakasem or yoshvim. Think about the scene. Shaul enters the scene, goes to a dark place, and David and his men are waiting in back of the cave. And they see from the light, you know, you walk into a cave, your eyes have adjusted, the newcomer's has not. David sees Shaul enter, sit down, lifts his robe, we'll see very modestly, in order to relieve himself. Vayemru anshei David elov, so the David's men say to him, Hinei hayom, all these misfits, all these malcontents in David's army. They say, now the day has come. Hinei hayom asher amar Hashem elecho. This is the day that God has said would happen. Hinanochi nasena sayivcho biyadecho. Behold, I'm going to give your enemy in your hand. Now you can do. He really is defenseless. I mean, he's relieving himself. What's he going to do? David here is also conflicted, as we'll see. Vayakom David vayichros his knaf hamehil asher l'shul balot. Doesn't kill him. He takes his knife, sneaks up behind Shaul, and cuts the corner of Shaul's royal robe. And then he retreats back with his men. V'yachrechein v'yach lev David oso. Right after that, David's conscience is smitten. He feels guilty, al asher karasis kanof asher l'shul, that he cut the robe. Asher's looking at me. Why is he feeling guilty? If he killed him, maybe he should feel guilty. But he cut his robe? Why should he feel guilty about that? The men protest. And the men say, we should kill him. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. They have their own grievances against Shaul. Vayomer l'anashov, he said to his men, Cholila li me'ashem, God forbid, im eses hadavar hazeh l'adoni, that I should do such a thing to my master, l'mshiach Hashem, to the anointed of God, l'shloach yadi bo, to set my hand against him. Ki mashiach Hashem, he says a second time, he's God's anointed. Vayishasa davidis anashav advarim, he holds his men back, he restrains them with words. V'lonis sonam l'kum el Shaul, doesn't let them rise against Shaul. V'shol kom me'amara v'yelech badarach, and Shaul leaves and he goes outside. That itself is a powerful story with very deep symbolism. You see, again, who are we talking about? We're talking about Gedolei Yisrael. We're talking about great people. Great people. It's hard to imagine a situation where someone is trying to kill you and you know he's irrational and he's not subject to reason and you have the opportunity to kill him in a way that nobody will find out because no one else is around. And yet David cannot, because he's Mashiach Hashem. What is it about Shaul that he sees? And notice, by the way, again, in the middle of Pasuk, again, Vayokom David, he again arises. That's the Tekuma of Malchus. And he makes a decision. Vayecharos his knafa me'il asher l'shul. He just cuts the garment. David cannot kill the Mashiach Hashem. Why? So the Gemara says, look at number 14. In the speech, in the soliloquy, which David will shortly give to Shaul, he says that I could have killed you. So the Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Sanach Beis Amid Beis, V'amar laharakcha v'tachas olecha. They said to kill you, and pity was taken on you. So the Gemara says, V'amar v'amarti miboile. It should say, I said I should kill you. Vatochos, and pity was taken. Vachasti mi boilei. I was the one who took pity. Om Rabbi Elazar, Om Elo David L'Shaul, Minatora ben Harega Atot. David said to Shaul, you're really chayav misa minatora. You're liable. I could have killed you. Shaharei rodei fato. You're rodei. You're trying to kill me. I'm allowed to defend myself. And the Torah says, Bola hargecho, hashkem l'hargo. Someone comes to kill you, you kill them first, rise up to kill them. David saw that Shaul, when he entered the cave, he entered as a melech. And when he conducted himself in the relieving himself, it was as a melech also, with dignity, with modesty. And the Gemara describes, he pulled down one robe a little, lifted another one, so very little of him was exposed. And David saw, a person who conducts himself like this, in complete and absolute privacy, where no one else is around, so that's tznius, and that's the Mashiach Hashem. That shows the inner greatness of a person. Usually people, when they're alone, you know, they don't care so much how they walk around. You walk out of the bath of the shell, you walk out a different way if someone's around, if someone's not around. No. Shaul HaMelech. He was a melech through and through. And you see, in fact, two incidents here that he chose to fight the Plishtim and abandon the hunt for David, and then the way he conducted himself. So David said, no, whatever his problems are, he's Mashiach Hashem. And I have to recognize that. The Gemara Darshan is exactly what it was that Shaul did, the way he covered himself, so David should take pity on him. And in fact, David did. Immediately, what's that? Should not have cut the rope. Why do you say that?
Because the guy is a melech, he's not allowed to be there. He's living himself, and he's not allowed to stand in that way. He should turn back to the wall.
Just let him escape. Just let him escape. Vayach lev David. David's conscience was stricken that he did that. He gets punished later. Yeah, he does get punished later. What's the punishment? That's the Gemara says, the end of 14 in Brachos. The very end. Amar Yosef Rebbe Chanina, Kol mevazes habegadim, whoever despises clothing, sof eino nene mehem. Eventually, the clothing give him no comfort. And you see the Haftarah for... right. For Vayechi? No, Chaisara. Yeah, Avishag Ashunamis. David's clothing can't keep him warm. Good. Happy birthday. David's clothing cannot keep him warm. What's up? Really, neither can I get neither. That everything comes out. Yeah, I notice that, you know, children especially like that. Children today, Mavasa Begadim. It happens, of course, when you have too much. They have everything in abundance, so it makes no difference what you have. So you walk in, you just throw it on the floor, shoes all over the place. I remember, I always tell this story. When I used to learn with Rabbi Wein in his house on Shabbos afternoon, at the end of the year, I was a teenager, so the young kids would come too. He'd have a collection in his closet of lost clothing. So one year he found in his closet one shoe. So I used to comment, how is it possible for a kid to lose just one shoe? You'd think he'd notice he's missing a shoe on the way home. No, that's mevazes habegadim. People scorn things. So David, even in this sense, he scorned it. Now, vayach eslev David, vayach lev David, he felt very guilty about it. Why should he feel guilty? The Al-Sheikh here makes a very beautiful, insightful point, and something we could all benefit from. He says, many times we're mesupik whether to do something or not. We're conflicted. Our heart tells us one thing, our head tells us another. If you don't know whether or not to do something, so the Al-Sheikh, and here, of course, the big machlokes. On the one end, he's a Rodev, Joel. On the other end, he's Mashiach Hashem. So, nice Mashiach Hashem, but I don't have to die. Teach Mashiach Hashem. So David really is in a conundrum. So Al-Sheikh said, if you're mesupik whether or not to do something small that partakes of the same act. And then see how you feel about it. If it's the Ratzon Hashem, if your motivation is from the Yetzer HaTov, then you'll feel good about it. If your motivation, though, is from the Yetzer, I'm sorry, if you regret it, then you see that your motivation is from the Yetzer HaRa, and therefore you should stop. And that's what David did. He didn't know which way to turn. Should he kill him? Should he not kill him? You can make compelling arguments on both sides. So what did he do? He cut part of his royal garment and then waited to see how it impacted upon him. And immediately, Vayach Lev David, he felt guilty about it. And he realized it was the wrong thing to do, in fact. And that's why later he's punished for it. And in fact, it works in the short term, but not in the long term, because Avner Ben-Er later tells Shaul, he didn't cut your garment, you cut it on some thorns. So don't believe the whole story. Be that as it may, David sees something special in Shaul, and he sees also something that David, of course, was one of the most poetic of human beings, that makes a profound impression. What capital did he write in this cave, based in this cave? We only say it every morning. Kuf Mem Beis. Maskil David, b'yosov am ara tefillah. A maskil is a tehillah of wisdom, of understanding. He has a new asaga, all right? What does he see, maskil? When he was in the cave? So the Medrash says, the Medrash Tehillim in 18. What's maskil David? So when they were both in the cave, Yoda v'ra, shein adam omei, lo b'mamono, v'lo b'chachmaso, v'lo b'gvuraso. He saw, David, that a person is really defined not by his money, and not by his wisdom, and not by his might. At a person's core, what innate, protects him, gives him strength? Ma'o omei lo, tefiloso, his tefillah. A person is defined by his prayer. A person who prays, a person who is moved by tefillah, a person who defines himself as a being who's mispal to Hashem, that's what really defines a person. Hiskil David v'yada v'amar shein tov lo elo tefillah. David said there's no good but tefillah. And this is how he makes his decision. What's the pasuk? Maskil koli el Hashem ezok, koli el Hashem eschanan. So the Medrash says, why twice koli? One koli el Hashem ezok, I'll cry out. Koli el Hashem eschanan, I'll plead. David had two pleas. Kach amar David, chaneni shelo apol biyado, v'chaneni shelo yipol biyadi. Grant me this favor, that I should not fall into his hands, and he should not fall into my hands. That's a dual prayer. That's a tefillah of a tzaddik. It's a tefillah of the person who's worthy to be the Melech HaMashiach. That's David HaMelech. David here gains insights. Prays he should not be captured, but nor should he have to capture Shaul HaMelech. And now comes that great scene, right in the middle of number 13. Shaul gets up and leaves. Again, Vayakom David Achreichein. David again arises. Vayetzei min ha'me'amara, Vayikra Achrei Shaul Lemor. Shaul goes down the hill, back to the road, near the Dead Sea. And David comes out of the cave and cries out to him, Adoni HaMelech, my master the king. Vayabet Shaul acharov, Shaul turns after him. Vayikod David apayim arzav vayishtachu, David bows down on the ground, prostrates himself before the king. I'm sure his men, the ruffians, the gang, were horrified. But that's not David. I'll read the whole thing because it makes a deep impression. Vayomer David l'Shaul, Loma tishmas divrei adam lemo. Why are you listening to people who say, Hinei David mevakeish rosecha, David wishes you harm. Hinei hayom azel ro'einecha is Hashem nesoncha Hashem hayom biyadi b'amara. You see today, God gave you into my hands in the cave. V'amar lahara kova tachos alecha. And they said to kill you, I have pity on you. Hashem, who is God's anointed. My father, remember he's his father-in-law. See the corner of your cloak in my hand. Because I just cut the corner of your garment and I did not kill you. Now you see, there's no evil, there's no rebellion in me against you. I have not sinned against you, and yet you hunt my soul. Yishpot Hashem beini uveinecha. God will judge between the two of us. Unekomani Hashem imecha. God will avenge me from you. V'yodi lo tiyabach. But my hand will not act against you. Hashem will fight the battle. Kasher yomar mishala kadmoni, as the ancient parable went. May Rishon Yetzei Resha, that evil comes from evil people. Megalim Zchusei Lezakai Chovei Lechayim. So Rashi says here that it's a reference to Kiminoli Ado, that if someone kills B'shogeg, ostensibly he deserves it, deserves to be in Golos. But others say that it's a reference to Cain and Hevel, Meshol HaKadmoni, Mershom Yetzei Resha. Cain was killed by his descendant, Lemech, who's also a Rasha. Acharei mi yotze melech Yisrael. Now, the different arguments, you can't go into the whole thing. He says, who are you chasing anyway, O King of Israel? Acharei mi atarodev, who are you pursuing? Acharei kelev meis, you're pursuing a dead dog. Acharei paro shechod, you're pursuing a single flea. God will be the judge. Judge between me and you. And he will see, take up my grievance and vindicate me from your hand. That is David's soliloquy before Shaul. And Shaul responds. Shaul says, when David finishes, Bayomer Shul, Hakol Choze Bini David, is that your voice, my son David? Vayisa Shul Kolo Vayev. Shul cries, he has remorse. Vayomer El David, Tzadik Atomi Meni, you are more righteous than me. Why? Because you were justified in killing me because I was a Rodev. But I was not justified in killing you because you were not Mori B'Malchus. Ki ato gimaltani ta hatova v'ani gimalticha hara'o. You repaid me with goodness. I repaid you with evil. Ve'ato higadato hayom eis asher asisa iti tova. Now you've proven today that you do only good for me. Eis asher sigrani Hashem b'yodcha v'lo raktani. God delivered me into your hand, but you didn't kill me. Does a man find his enemy and then send him off in a good way? God will repay you for the good. I saw the Mishpat Zot quotes Rav Shmadron Yerushalayim with a nice mashal as well. He says, what's the good way? David had a choice. To kill him for sure, but he had a choice of cornering Shaul in the cave and talking to him there. But Shaul said no, that would have been pogam the kavod malchus, that you are respectful of my dignity also, not to attack me in the presence of your men, right there where I had no entourage, no one to defend me, etc. You let me go off into the distance, so you retain Kvod Malchus. That's V'shechob Ederech Tova. V'ato hine yodati ki maloch timloch. Now I also know that you're going to rule. You will be the king. V'koma biyodcho mamlechas Yisrael. And the kingdom of Israel will be established. Again, v'koma, in your hand. So just promise me, Shaul says, you won't kill me or my descendants. Vayishavah David l'Shaul. David swore to Shaul. Vayelech Shaul beiso. Shaul went back to his palace, called the hunt off for now. V'David v'anashav alu ala metzudah. They went back into the fortress. Why? Because David knew that Shaul also was a little erratic. A little erratic. So now he's remorseful. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Rashi says in 16, Yodati ki maloch timloch. I know now that you will surely rule. How did he know? Two ways, Rashi says. Shoroa ani shakadosh baruch hu matzucho miyadi. I see, you're too slippery. I can't catch you. If I can't catch you, Melech Yisrael, it's because God doesn't want you caught. And he says, secondly, this answers Zosher's point. The Medrash HaGadol says, Simon ze mosalo Shmuel. Shmuel gave Shaul a sign. Shakorea mi'ilo yimloch tachtov. The person who tears your garment, that's the one who's going to be the king. How do we know that? That was the end of the story with Amalek. That's exactly what happened. Shmuel said to Shaul, Korah, that God has torn away your malchus from you and gave it to someone better than you. torn away. So that was the sign. Someone who would be able to tear away the garment of Shaul, that would be the sign. In fact, Shmuel did the same thing. It says we're Perek Tesvav in the story of Amalek, which we discussed last year. Vayimascha Hashem Mios Melcha Yisrael. God has now despised you from being king. Vayisov Shmuel Aleches. Shmuel turned away. Vayachazek Biknaf Meilo Vayikareya. And Shmuel Shaul tore Shmuel's tunic. Vayomer Elov Shmuel. God has torn away the kingship of Israel from you today, and has given it to your friend who's better than you. Of course, that was the nevuah that tormented Shaul for all these months. It's a couple of years even. Who is this person? And now he knows it's the person who tore his garment. Well, what happens? David fears a relapse, so he again runs into the wind. He's not hounded as he was before with the same intensity, but unfortunately we know that he will be hounded. As I mentioned before, Avner ben Ner and other acolytes of Shaul convince him that David still means him harm, that David really did not see Shaul in the cave and could not have killed him, so eventually he will resume the chase, but without the same intensity. What happens now? Number 19. Vayomas Shmuel vayikatzu kol Yisrael vayispidlo vayikveru beveso biramah. Shmuel dies. Why does Shmuel die here? Actually dies a little later on, but the Novi places it here because really Shmuel's work is finished. The Radak says, Shmuel niskayma nevuah Shmuel b'chayov. Now he sees even Shaul recognizes the kingship of David. So now it's only a matter of time. His work is complete. His nevuah is confirmed. David weathers this storm. End of the pasuk. Again, Vayakom David, Vayered Amibat Paran. Once again, Tekuma. David rises. There are dangers still ahead. Dangers from Shaul. Dangers from elsewhere also. One danger, we'll see next week. Women! David takes another wife. The story of Abigail. After that, we'll discuss the fate of another wife of David, Michal Bashol, and what happened to her. But next week, David, Naval HaKarmeli, and Abigail. It's not so much a digression from the story, but it's part of the formation of Malchus David. Okay, thank you for coming.